You're listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm Katya Gordon, your hostess for What's Happening.
Coming up, Janelle Jones will be calling in KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota. You're listening to KTWH. I'm Katya Gordon, the hostess for What's Happening. Every Friday morning from 9 to 9:30, we check in with a community leader to find out what's happening. And this morning, Janelle Jones, the head of the Chamber of the Lake County Chamber of Commerce, is with me, not in person, but by phone and in spirit. Thank you, Janelle, for calling this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. I think this is the first time that we've been not in person, but Your sound is good, and we'll just move along here. So I think I interviewed you about a month and a half ago, right before, really before the COVID-19 crisis had arrived, and we had all kinds of events planned. Are there any events still out there that are anything you want to talk about? Any of, I don't know whether some of these summer things or outside things are still happening, but I thought I'd check in about that first.
I know. You know, unfortunately, right now we are living in the world of uncertainty.
Yep.
As far as our chamber events go, we've just hit the pause button.
Okay.
I have not officially canceled anything. We are, you know, trying to be very optimistic, and at some point would like to continue on with some of our chamber events. So we're just hitting the pause button right now.
Okay.
And as far as the community events go, I know right now nothing has been set in stone, has been canceled. I think decisions will come in the next few weeks. But right now, I think everybody's just kind of hanging on. You know, the world and the situations are changing, seems to be daily. So
yes,
I think everybody's just kind of hanging tight a little bit longer to see what decisions need to be made in a timely manner.
Yep. So I know that some big changes, or I don't know how big they are, but there's been some adjustments and made through Governor Walz's announcements yesterday, having to do with stores and their ability to open and do different curbside pickups. What can you tell us about the changes coming this on the 4th?
Well, I think, you know, it's encouraging to, you know, see some things, you know, happening and moving as far as, you know, the business community goes. You know, the chamber right now is having, you know, weekly and sometimes more than once a week conversations with the business owners. We're having big group meetings where everybody's getting on Zoom and having these conversations. And I think it's important for everybody, you know, living up here to know that your business community is also very concerned about making sure that everything is done as safely as possible. You know, we all live here also, and our families are here and our friends are here. And you know, there's the anxiousness to find some normalcy once again.
Yeah.
But making sure that we do it in the safest, most possible way we can. And that is very, very important to everybody here. So those are the things happening is, you know, we're trying to navigate through. So that being said, I think as you see things coming back and opening, you're going to see them coming back in a much different way. And, you know, we ask also the consumers to be patient with that, too. It is so important to be supporting your local businesses right now more than ever. But like I said, be patient with the change because, you know, we don't always all like change. But, you know, I think right now we've been, you know, it's slapping us in the face. We're going to be changing a lot of things. So, you know, right now you're going to be able to go and call in and get what you need, and they'll bring it out to you. You know, everybody's trying to modify their systems also, and it's not going to be perfect at first, but hopefully we get to, you know, we find our groove and we find a way to make all of this work.
Yeah, so in some ways, to me, what I'm hearing is the bottom line is if you are traditionally purchase something at a store in Two Harbors, you know, don't go elsewhere until you've called.
No, please do.
And find out if you can go pick it up. Or, I mean, I know many of us have very regular purchases and we don't actually need to shop around. We know exactly what we want and we can call and order it.
Exactly. You know, we're pretty much creatures of habit. We tend to know what we want. And, you know, take that extra minute to call that store and say, hey, I want to buy this from you. I can tell you that our business community is you know, uncomfortable right now. And it's very, very important for us to be trying to find ways to support them. You know, I encourage you, if you see someone's offering, you know, take out, you know, go have some dinner, take it out, try to help keep these doors open because, you know, when the day is done, if nobody makes it through this, then we've got bigger problems.
Right.
So, you know, really trying to, you know, keep supporting these folks that are trying to just right now, you know, keep the lights on and pay the bills so we can get back to some sort of normal, whatever that's going to look like.
Yeah. And I know that another thing is that every business is supposed to make their COVID plan, essentially. And so following those plans seems like will be critical to convincing people we're ready to open more. So what kinds of things are in these plans?
Yeah, exactly. And that is something that, like I said, we've been really working on. There are some really good plans and guidelines that the state has been putting out for all of these businesses. And, you know, everybody wants to keep everybody safe. So they really, you know, every business right now is looking at what does it look like to the customer walking through my door? What do I have to have in place for them? What is it to keep my employees safe? Right down to your vendors, you know, we all have the UPS man stopping by and the delivery truck stopping by. And when you work with the businesses and you make sure that you're putting this all almost like a business plan, now you have a COVID plan. And working it through talking to your employees and how does it affect everybody. And it's been really, really encouraging. You know, I've seen all these businesses just stepping up going, you know, this is important to us. Yes, we want to reopen. However, we're going to do this and make sure we're keeping everybody safe. We have pretty caring communities up here on the North Shore, and they're taking everything pretty seriously, and that makes me feel pretty good about things.
Yes. Janelle, I've had a listener question about the campgrounds. We hear they're opening, but we also hear we're not supposed to move around yet. Do you want to just explain the discrepancy between seasonal and recreational campers?
Yeah, sure. Yes, right now the campgrounds are the way it's reading right now is if you are a seasonal camper. So a lot of folks go and they park their camper in a campground for 2-3 months, and that's where they're living for that season. They are allowing that. Those tend to be more self-contained. They tend to be, you know, they're more like a cabin or a house, and here you go.
Right
now, they have not lifted on the recreational camping. They don't want the campers that are coming in and switching, you know, you're propping up a tent for 2 days, and you're using the bathhouse, and you're using all that kind of thing where you have all the touch points. You know, everything, one of the key words we're hearing these days is touch points. You're trying to reduce touch points.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, they are discouraging that, and yes, they're still just, with the stay-at-home orders, you know, recreate close to home, stay at home. But as you and I both know, that not everybody does that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just right now trying to educate and, you know, get ahead of that. But right now, campgrounds are not allowing the recreational camper in.
Yeah,
it's also different, too, if, you know, there's times when people need to camp. You might have...
Right.
And I'm using an example. You might have construction workers working on your hospital that bring in like RV or whatever, and they are living in that. Well, that, you know, they're essential workers. There's a little few different rules for that also. So, you know, I encourage people to, if you see a car at a hotel or you see somebody at a campground or whatever that might be, you know, we all react like, oh my gosh, why? I don't know that person. Why are they here? It doesn't always mean that they're here on vacation. We actually have a lot of essential workers that come through our community that are working on hospitals and on different road projects or whatever it might be that have reasons to be here. So, you know, we take a lot with our emotions right now. So it's really hard to just take a step back and go, you know what? There might be other reasons.
Right. And I think just not policing each other is always, we're not being told to police each other.
I know, just take care of, you know, keep yourself safe. That's a big deal right now.
Yes. And also, there's so many, there is a lot of sort of hardship happening on a mental, emotional, spiritual levels too. And so lots of reaching out if you need to be doing something special because of the time we're living in, then do it in a positive way.
Yep. When you see people struggling, give them a phone call, you know, give them a FaceTime. Sometimes it just helps people to see somebody and have a conversation.
Yeah. Janelle, have you heard about this? The Minnehaha teachers are doing a parade on Monday the 11th.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
I love that.
Trounce about town and everyone can go wave outside. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
that's been pretty fun to watch. You know, our school, I can't say enough good things about the way our school's handling it. This has changed for them, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the teachers have been really, really good about reaching out and caring about these kids and trying to, you know, make this the best experience for them they can. So I think it's really important, and it's really cool that they're all going above and beyond and trying to to make this, you know,
yes,
good for these kids.
And I know you're a parent as well, as am I, and I think we both, sounds like you've noticed, I know I've noticed, and just really hats off to the teachers and to the students. It just seems like they are really hard hit by this and sure doing their best. And I don't know if you experienced any of this, but we've had some teachers that have been really quite funny and playing jokes on kids. And I mean, that is priceless, and especially now. I mean, we just need that so badly. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, they're very understanding and good about reaching out and making sure these kids are okay. And you know, as a parent, I do appreciate that too.
Yeah. And as the weather warms, I do think, you know, good, spacious outdoor activity is something that's not only allowed, but everyone agrees it's good for our health and good for everything. So hopefully we'll see people out. I know we have seen a lot of people out, and I have a feeling that will grow as the weather warms. Janelle, do you have any other bits of advice, or can you maybe peek into the crystal ball and tell us what the summer is going to look like?
Oh, boy. I wish. If
you
I had
wish.
That crystal ball, let me tell you what, I'd be on the news. No, really, Katya, I can't say enough good things about how our community has been handling all this. You know, I see everybody stepping up and helping each other out, and as the hardships have came and the uncertainty has came, I think we can all agree that we've also seen some pretty cool things happening around us. And I think, you know, we have to try to keep our eye on those silver linings a little bit.
Yep.
Just for, like you said, our own mental health, if nothing else. But people are going to start showing up, and we can't stop that. We don't have to put the big invite out, but we also can't.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I would encourage everybody to, like we said, take care of yourself. Get your mask, get your gloves, be smart. I don't know about you, but I've got my jug of Clorox wipes on the seat of my car. I throw one in my pocket when I go somewhere. You know, just be smart, be wise, and I think that we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to work together and help each other and get through this.
Yep. Very well
said.
And
be proud of ourselves. Be proud of ourselves.
Yeah.
Minnesota is a leader in the country, and Lake County is one of the leaders in the state. That says a lot about the people that live here.
Yes.
And I think that we will, hook our arms together and get through this.
I've heard more. I mean, we're always grateful to live here in general. I think people are always speaking about living by the lake and our natural resources, and that remains true. But it seems like even more so right now. People are so grateful that it's not worse than it is, and that we have just institutions that are small enough that, you know, our education is manageable, our food shelf is managing, our businesses are small enough to stick together, and we are just really lucky. And I think paradoxically, as things get harder, it's almost like the appreciation is going up. So
on top of that, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but on top of that, I also think it's really important that we also remember, though, because we have done so well, we all start to kind of forget the important, what's really happening, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
We have to, it gives us kind of a false sense of, the reality of it all. So we have to keep in mind that it's, it's still there.
Right.
We just have to be careful.
Right, and big things are happening in other parts of the our country and the world, and there's definitely no guarantee that we are not going to become a hotspot at some point either. So
exactly,
right?
And we will.
Yeah,
something will happen. You know, we just have to be ready for it.
All right. Well, thank you, Janelle. This has been a great check-in.
Thanks for having me.
You're always an upper, and I didn't know if you'd manage to do that even under these circumstances, but you have.
Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah. Have to look at the glass half full.
There we go.
Part of it. So.
Wonderful.
Well, I appreciate it, and you stay healthy, and I hope everybody else stays safe and healthy, and give us a call at the chamber if we can be of any help or answer any questions. That's what we're here for.
I know you are, and I'm sure we will check in a few months or weeks, not sure when, but when we do, we'll see you again. Thank you, Janelle.
Sounds good. Thanks, dear. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Janelle Jones, head of our Chamber of Commerce in Lake County. And you are listening to What's Happening on KTWH.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
By the time you get to May, of course, in essence, the primary is over. Biden is the presumptive nominee. And so it would have been far more interesting and more fun to see what ranked choice voting would have produced if you had 8 or 10 candidates.
Kansas Democrats hold their first ranked choice and all-male primary tomorrow, and Burdette Loomis, longtime political science professor at the University of Kansas, is excited.
The exercise was great. I think clearly the mail-in element has worked. I think people have liked the ranked choice.
Voters can rank up to 5 candidates in order of preference on ballots due tomorrow at the Kansas Democratic Party office. Guam is also holding its Democratic caucuses. All 9 of the U.S. territory's Republican delegates went to President Donald Trump back in March. Kansas Republicans canceled their primary months ago to support Trump, but almost 40% of American adults identify as independents, according to the Pew Research Center. And some may be swayed by Republican-turned-independent Michigan Representative Justin Amash, who's launched an exploratory committee for a libertarian bid for president.
What a candidate like Justin Amash gets nationally, you know, is it 2%, is it 3%, is it 5%?
Political strategist Joe Hunter worked for 2-time libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson. He points out that Trump carried Michigan, Amash's home state, by a razor-thin margin of just under 11,000 votes, and over 172,000 voted for Gary Johnson. So Amash could make an impact.
The important question is, what does he do in Michigan? What does he do in Wisconsin? What does he do in Pennsylvania? All it takes is to be at 5 or 6% in a couple of key states, and there lies the balance of the election.
Hunter says Amash would appeal to both, quote, never Trump Republicans, unquote, and libertarians.
The deficits, even before COVID-19 came along, were exploding. It's a little bit difficult to look at Donald Trump, in all due respect, and call him a conservative.
An Amash run could even affect former Vice President Joe Biden's choice of running mate. His campaign announced the vetting team yesterday. McClatchy, D.C. reporter Dave Catanese expects whoever Biden picks will get more scrutiny than usual due to Biden's age and choosing a woman VP.
We know that, you know, just historically, females get a different type of critique and have more sensitive political terrain to prove themselves on than men, because America is just not used to females in executive positions.
Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders have agreed Sanders will now keep his hundreds of delegates until the convention, contrary to party rules. And today, after mounting pressure from some Democrats, Biden plans to address sexual assault allegations against him by a former Senate aide, Tara Reid, on MSNBC's Morning Joe, a topic the Biden campaign has thus far almost completely ignored. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Wolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
I'm fire. I burn stuff. But you already know that. We've worked together before, but what you might not know is I love spring. It's when I can run wild without a care in the world. It's not my fault I get out of control. I didn't start me. I'm nothing without you. But once I get started, I can't stop. So play it safe. Don't start with me, and certainly don't turn me loose, because once you lose control, I'll just keep going till I burn it all.
This message is brought to you by the Department of Natural Resources. You may contact our local DNR office about burning restrictions, burn permits, and other fire-related issues at 834-1418.
Thank you. KTWH is offering weekly updates from Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic, on Friday mornings at 10:30. If you have a question for Greg regarding COVID-19 or its impact on our health, our health providers, and the community, email the station at thcomm radio@gmail.com. And if you can, label the subject as question for Greg. We'll do our best to have Greg respond, so remember to tune in for some answers at 10:30 a.m. Friday at 99.5 FM or stream it at ktwh.org.
This is Beth Babiew, hailing from New Jersey, the Garden State, and you are listening to KTWHLP at 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota, hearing local voices.